Hello, everyone. It's Brian again. So glad you're able to join us again today on another episode of Health Beat. This is going to be a lot of fun. We've got a great topic that I know you're going to be very interested in today. I'm very passionate about this particular topic, as you'll many of you know what my background is in raising money for sick kids and helping them make their lives a little bit better. I'll be introducing our guest today in just a moment, but I'm excited to do this program. Because we've got a lot to discuss really about the health and well-being of children. And when they're suffering or when they're having difficulty, it's nice to see what our guests are doing today to help make their lives, the kids' lives, a little bit better, a little bit easier. So to the topic today, we're really going to be discussing a very unique and very cool camp that I was introduced to several months ago. And the camp is called Camp Hobie. And it's been something that has caught my attention because, as you know, if you follow my history, and all the listeners know this, but I spent 7.5 years raising funds for children's hospitals all across the country and even around the world. So I wanted to do a podcast today to make it a little bit or an episode today to make it a little bit more, shed a little bit more light on Camp Hobie and how we're going to all get together, how we all can help make lives a little bit better for sick children. But today, certainly wanted to recognize and make sure that you're all aware of Chris Beckwith, who is her nickname is, now you're going to have to help me on this, Chris, but Wapita Mama. We'll have you explain that in just a minute.
Wapita Mama. Close.
Hey, and then also Brandy Flynn. So we are so glad. And Brandy is a camp director at Camp Hobie. And Chris is the executive director of the camp. And so welcome, ladies. So glad to have you on with us today.
Brandy's muted.
Brandy. Yeah, go ahead and unmute.
When we post it, can we just clarify Brandy's a volunteer with our camp?
Absolutely. Okay. So volunteer.
I'd love to have her be a director someday.
Well, you know what? I don't always understand all the levels. So I'm glad you clarified that. So thank you.
I don't want my staff to think somebody got let go or something.
I totally get that. My apologies. I wasn't aware that there was a difference. So in either event, we're glad to have Chris and Brandy with us today. And so why don't we just jump right in? Let's talk a little bit about, and so for our listeners' benefit, who might be unfamiliar with the term or the concept or even the actual camp of Camp Hobie and its mission. Chris, do you want to cover that and tell us a little bit about what the mission of Camp Hobie is?
Perfect. So Camp Hobie is, we provide services to kids with cancer and their families, as well as to kids with diseases that are treated similarly to cancer. And our goal is to give these kids a place where they can go. And to sum it up in four words, letting kids be kids is really what we're all about. We want to give these kids a place where they can meet other kids that are going through similar things that they are. They can feel a feeling of belonging, and friendship, and be able to enhance their self-esteem. So I guess I said that in a very clunky way. Our mission is to create an atmosphere that enhances self-esteem, fosters independence and friendships, and creates a sense of belonging. We do that through our summer camps and then also through family activities where the whole family can go and, you know, just have some fun for a time. So when we say letting kids be kids, we mean that no matter what your age is.
I love that. And not only is it a great mission, great vision that you originally started with, but it's something that's actually working quite well from the feedback that I'm getting and seeing some of the testimonials of the families. It's just very heartening to see the good work that you and your team are doing at Camp Hobie. That's actually a unique name, Camp Hobie. Tell us a little bit about the story behind how you came up with the name Camp Hobie.
So I can't take credit for that. Camp Hobie was founded in 1985, which is a little bit before my time. And it was founded by some staff at Primary Children's Hospital here in Salt Lake, as well as the local American Cancer Society. And they worked together for many years. I have been told that the word Hobie means hope in an ancient language. And so that's a great message. I think, through providing these kids and their families a place to make friends and have fun and just experience that, that healing of being in a community, that really is something that gives them hope and helps sustain them throughout the year, through the hard times that they're experiencing with their treatment and, being isolated from others.
Well, I think one area that obviously caught my attention, having done work with raising funds for 170 children's hospitals, that's a tough environment, and it's tough for the kids to be there. It's hard for the families. It's hard for the siblings. Some of the siblings don't get enough attention because that their sibling is sick, and that's where all the attention is being given. And there's even some areas that I remember very well that bled over into the idea of, this is so overwhelming for the child that might be sick, for the parents that are freaked out trying to take care of their kid and making sure that their child is doing well, making sure the healthcare professionals are doing their jobs. And then you add in the siblings into that mix. There's a lot of emotional impact that we see, that I've seen, that you both have seen, in the world of trying to get kids healthier, helping them feel better. Why don't, Brandy, let me maybe toss this one over to you for just a moment. You've seen a lot of emotional support you have to give as a volunteer when you're at the camp, but how does that also work for not just the children that are at the camp, but also as Chris was talking about earlier, about making it more of kind of a family activity? How does that work on the emotional side and the, for lack of a better term, the psychological side of the everybody involved? How do you work as a volunteer to help kind of keep everybody moving forward and keeping positive while they're at the camp?
Yeah, great question. So I think it's pretty easy at camp because despite it being about cancer, that's relatively little that we actually talk about. We're more, on the play side of things where we're helping them like experience new activities. We got things ranging from archery to swimming. Drama is huge. We've got ropes courses. So these kids are really just thrown in an environment where they get to express themselves freely, where they get to discover, just new, aspects that they didn't know about themselves, which is one of my favorite parts. In terms of like the actual psychosocial side of things, it's pretty easy to talk with the kids just because it creates an environment where it just feels safe for them, right? And so I think just being able to help foster that sense of trust, within the community, I think it makes it incredibly useful, when working with the kids. So.
Yeah, I actually love that because the emotional impact on the child is, I mean, it's so overwhelming. Excuse me. You see it on their faces every day. You hear it in their voice. You see that again with the parents and even with the siblings. But I love the fact that kids can just go out and be kids for a little bit of time, a little short while. Where actually, let me toss this one back over to you, Chris. Where is Camp Hobie held, or where do the kids and their families go to for the days that they're at Camp Hobie?
Sorry. Sorry about that. Yeah, so I'll do that and then I'm going to tag on to what Brandy said as well. So as far as where we have camp, we right now use a campsite that's located outside of Tooele, Utah. It's owned by the Utah Elks organization. It's a beautiful site. It's up in the mountains. We have cabins for the campers to stay in. We have a big lodge where we can prepare our meals and eat inside if we want to eat inside. We like to eat outside at camp because that's a lot of fun too. We have a big arts and crafts cabin where we can go make our crafts. We have an infirmary with individual treatment rooms and places for our medical staff to stay, as well as a pharmacy where we can store meds and things like that. There's a ropes course on the site, a swimming pool. The swimming pool is huge because of a lot of our kids, because of their central lines, they can't swim in a public pool. Also, public pools tend to be vectors of lots of nasty germs and things. But with our med staff on site, we can minimize that risk for our campers. There's a big playing field. There's a zip line and a giant swing. It's just really a great facility. And we love being able to go up there. And just to point out to you as well, Brian. So in my background, I have a bunch of flowers, and that's actually from our Hobie Forever Grove, which is a part of the campsite. And that's most of camp is really about getting out and letting the kids have fun and not have to be identified as a kid with cancer or a kid whose brother or sister has cancer. They know they are, but they don't have to talk about it. And that's not how people look at them, like, oh, you poor child, or oh, that kind of thing. At Camp Hobie, they can really just be a kid. We do have a place, a part of our program called Hobie Forever, where our campers can come up and plant a flower and say something about people that aren't in their lives anymore, or things that they've lost from their lives. So it might be, I have my leg amputated, I lost my little sister, or it might even be, I had to give my cat away because my brother's allergic, or I moved to schools. So they really have that time to talk about their feelings of loss and grief and have a chance to plant a flower to represent that those deep feelings, and have a safe space to share that. And then after that program's over, we have cookies and treats together, and then we go back to the fun. So it's really a safe place where they can share that and feel that and do some processing. But as Brandy said, it's a lot of just kids gaining strength and solidarity from being around other kids going through the same thing. Utah is a big state. We have a lot of rural areas, and our kids that are being treated for cancer, it's a very rare disease. So they might be the only family in their whole town or their whole county that's struggling with that. And so just for them to be in a place where they know that other people understand what they're going through is very, very important for them.
That's a very good overview of that. Thank you for taking that maybe a step further. I like the fact that the kids can, I mean, not only just have fun, but the fact that they're not reminded about their disease while they're there. They're always reminded about their disease when in the hospital. And so this is just a welcome relief. This is very exciting to hear about it too. I know that there's other different programs, and Chris, you mentioned something that I'm sure would catch the attention. Maybe it already did, but let's just bring it up again. You also have medical staff that's there on site with the campers. Let's talk a little bit about how Camp Hobie makes sure that all the children are safe and that they're medically taken care of while they're there at the camp.
Yeah, that's very important. So at our camp, because we have a mix of campers and siblings, or sorry, patients and siblings, about 40% of our campers are the cancer patient, and the rest are brothers or sisters. Of those brothers and sisters, about half of them have some other kind of medical disorder that requires treatment or observation. So about 70% of our campers are medically needy. And that's, it's a big ask to go to a parent who has a child with a serious illness like this and say, hey, send us your kid. Just send away from home for, 2 days, 5 days. It'll be fine. That's a lot. They're used to worrying about their kid. They're used to making sure that their kid is safe. It's a big ask. So we, what we have available to us is we have staff. We have medical staff from a lot of them actually work at primary and know these families. We have physicians, we have nurses, we have nurse practitioners, we have physician assistants. We have those that work at primary. We have some from around the community. And because we have that medical staff on site, we know what needs to be happening for those kids to keep them safe, whether they have cancer or another illness. We know we have people that know how to monitor that and treat that. We have the medications that the parents send, and we make sure that those are given safely and the kids are taken care of. We have people that know how to flush lines and take care of IV lines and ports and all of that. We also have people that maybe don't have oncology experience, but they've worked in an emergency department or family medicine, so they can help with the, managing things like diabetes or asthma or the cuts and bumps and scrapes that come when sometimes kids or volunteers are just having too much fun to pay attention to what they're doing and they have a little oopsie.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Well, that's one area that I obviously is important. And you touched on this a little bit earlier about the programs that are available and the planting of the flower. Let me toss a question over to Brandy, if we could, and talk about, as a volunteer, what types of sessions and programs have you been involved in, and what kind of results have you seen from the kids going through those programs when they're there, the positive changes that may be happening with those kids?
Oh, man. There are so many different activities, and we rotate them, but we have like our consistency. I think for me, I've been a part of the ropes course side of things, so seeing kids, it's always a challenge by choice situation up at camp, where they get to push the envelope if they choose. Obviously, we try to create a supportive environment where they feel safe enough to take those risks, which that's really exciting when you see a kid go down the zip line and, you know, go from fear to, you know, that conquering feeling. And I've been a part of arts and crafts, which is really funny. It's lovingly adorned as farts and crafts by our campers and staff alike. And then I think one of my favorite parts is being a cabin counselor. So like where I get to take, you know, that specific cabin around and do all the different activities. As of recently, I'm, you know, over the STEM activity. So I create, you know, all the different STEM side of things, and kind of seeing just that light bulb that goes off with the kid when, you know, they figure a problem out. Last year, we did like this Goldberg challenge, and just seeing the creativity and the ingenuity come out in these kids is just, it's pure magic.
That's great. So, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, Tooele, Utah, beautiful area. A lot of you know that I grew up in Utah and spent a lot of time in the mountains as a kid growing up. But, you know, when you think about the area and you think about also the children all around the country and around the world that would love to be at the camp, you're kind of limited in space, Chris, and you're kind of limited also in maybe where you can do some of the fundraising areas, but we can talk about that in a different time. But I want to focus on kind of the, you know, are we only talking about children from the Intermountain region? How many kids can actually be at the camp? How often do you do this? Maybe we can chat a little bit about those or elaborate a little bit more about those regions or communities that you're tapping into to help the children.
Sure. So we serve the catchment area from Primary Children's Hospital, as well as anybody that's been treated at Primary Children's. So, you know, it's been quite a while, but there have been past years we've had kids that came from other countries and were treated at Primary. Although that's certainly a, you know, the more rare situation. Primary serves Utah and the surrounding Intermountain area. So we'll get about 90% of our campers come from, actually live in Utah, but we do have some from surrounding states, you know, Arizona, New Mexico, Idaho, Wyoming, Nevada, even Montana, Four Corners area, Colorado, that we get kids from all these different locations. And that's part of why, you know, we run a virtual camp program as well as our in-person program, because for some of our families, even those that live in Utah, if you're 4 hours away, you know, and you're, sometimes it's not possible to drive that far to bring your kid to camp, but with virtual camp, that gives us some more flexibility there.
Why don't you talk about that a little bit more on virtual camp? Is that held the same time as the actual physical camp, or is it a different time? And how would families maybe benefit from that as well?
Yeah, so our virtual camp program is something that was started in 2020, which was a year of, you know, probably most of us remember.
Time to have started it.
Right. It was a brand new thing that nobody ever thought you could do camp in virtually or online. And we've really learned a lot over the years and learned how to really make it, you know, very interactive for the kids and very fun. So each camp session happens at a different time. So our in-person camps are held in June, and then our virtual camps actually held in about the middle of July. And what's nice about that is we have some campers that come to in-person camp, and then they also participate in virtual camp, so that they get more days of activities and more time to meet other kids. We have campers that sign up for in-person camp, but then because of their treatment or whatever, they might get sick and not be able to come to in-person camp. So that's we can still have them move them to our virtual session. And that's part of why we wanted to have virtual camp after our in-person sessions, so that we can really make sure that those kids that are sick can still attend. And that was especially important, you know, during COVID, when, you know, if we had somebody that tested positive and couldn't come to camp, then in person, we still had a place for them to be able to get those experiences.
Okay. And then how often are the camps? Is it what the once a year? Is it just the June timeframe for the in-person camp and then July for the virtual camp? Is that the only time of the years that are the year that you're doing the camps?
Right now, yes. So we offer three in-person sessions. We have one for ages 4 to 7, which is our Day Camp Hobie Junior session. That's a 2-day program. We have our Kids Week program, which is for ages 7 to 11. That's a 5-day overnight. And then our Teen Week, which is for ages 12 to 19, which is also a 5-day overnight. And then our virtual camp is for ages 6 to 19, and that's a 4-day interactive program. I mean, it's something that definitely in the future we'd like to see it expand. Right now, we're still bouncing back from the pandemic.
Right.
We have, you know, our families, because they have
aren't we all
very yeah very very serious illnesses. You know, people are still a little hesitant to send their kids to a place where they're going to be around a lot of other people all at once, and right. A lot of you know, a lot of programs nationally that provide similar programs to us are still seeing this year, that we're not back up to our full numbers that we were before the pandemic. And that's true of volunteers too. People are still hesitant to get out of the house to some extent. We want to, but there's still some, you know, hesitancy out there, and we're still working our way back to normal. I think, you know, before the pandemic, we were almost, our Kids Week session was bursting at the seams, and we were really starting to outgrow the campsite again. So, you know, down the line, I see us really needing to add more sessions of Kids Week, more sessions of Teen Week, more sessions of day camp in order to be able to keep serving the demand out there. We know that there are more kids being diagnosed with cancer that aren't getting to our camp. And that's one of our projects for the next year, is to try and figure out how we can serve those families, whether it's at camp or whether at our family programs throughout the year, or, you know, some other way that we can reach them and bring them in and make sure that their kids and the families get that experience.
So part of the goal then is to continue to offer the camp to more and more children as it's available, but we all know that that takes money. And so the easiest way for people to recognize how we all can help Camp Hobie grow is to also have a strategy in place where we reach out and we start asking more people to raise additional capital. Camp Hobie is a 501c3, is that correct?
Yes, we are. We are a 501c3 nonprofit. We have been for, gosh, now it's over 20 years.
Wonderful. Well, and you're doing incredible work as well. So families that want to help Camp Hobie can also make a donation to help fund some of the camping activities and maybe even grow a little bit bigger as time continues to go on, because we all know, unfortunately, there's a lot of children who are sick. And diseases aren't going away anytime soon. I remember when we were raising money for the 170 children's hospitals, there were about 17 million kids that were attending those or going to those hospitals during that time. And I stopped doing that back around 2011. So, you know, we still support that organization as well. But at the long and short of it was, there were a lot of sick kids then. I don't know what the numbers are today. I just know that the diseases have not gone away. And so we all need to focus on how we can do a better job in raising additional funds so that Camp Hobie can not only survive the future, but continue to thrive like they're currently doing. So I wanted to encourage our listeners to also look up Camp Hobie. In fact, why don't you talk a little bit about how they can reach out to you or learn more about Camp Hobie, where you'd like to send them to gather additional information about the camp.
Sure. Thanks for asking. So we have, we do have a website for those of us that are between the ages of 35 and 55. It's camphobiekids.org. And I will put that in the chat so that you have it for when the editing happens. We also are on socials. We are on Facebook, and it's Facebook/Camp Hobie, or just Camp Hobie on Facebook. It's also Camp Hobie on Instagram. We're not really on Twitter, X, or whatever it's called. We do have some hashtags, but two socials is enough for us. But follow us on Instagram or Facebook. We post fairly regularly. That's probably the best way to find us. We are also on YouTube at Camp Hobie Videos. We have a channel where you can watch information about the organization. You can hear from our camper families and our campers, and all that sort of good stuff.
I love it. There's a lot of ways to reach out and get to know more about the mission of Camp Hobie. Let's focus. Let's go back again, Brandy. Why don't we talk a little bit about being a counselor at camp and the incredible rewarding time that you have as a volunteer and working with different kids from all walks of life, from all different backgrounds, all different ages. Are there any specific activities that you've noticed that are maybe particularly profound to the kids, or that they like to, that maybe impact the campers a little bit more than others? Let's talk a little bit about some of that and how some of these kids kind of overcome their apprehension, maybe of first showing up at camp being with strangers. Walk us through a little bit as a volunteer, how you help kids move through those 2 to 5 days at the camp.
You know, it's kind of incredible, just with the familiarization of campers, who have been there before. And when new campers come in, just how quick they go from strangers to best friends. I think that's one of the things that stands out most about camp is just how quick that rapport is built. I think it comes from a place where they understand, that they're all there for a reason, right? And I think that just helps take away some of that apprehension that tends to occur with that new meeting. As staff, obviously, like the more goofy and fun loving and creative we can be, like just the easier the kids just sink into that, right? So I think just bringing a lot of energy is really helpful. We do a lot of skits. I think, seeing some of the transformations that occur just in the skits alone is pretty incredible to see. They get to dive in and kind of create, these different dynamics that they haven't experienced before. Our
you
drama.
Mean things like where they actually have to learn some lines and actually be an actor on stage?
Yeah, it just really, it's the kids' choice, right? So
that's
they get
cool.
To go to the cabin, they get, pretty creative sometimes, like where they'll do like additions to, their actual sketch, which is so funny to see. These kids, really, the way they come together and, the things that they come up with is just truly incredible to see. As a staff member, I think the organization does an incredible job of, creating enough, dynamics to where if, like, your preference isn't for arts and crafts, for example, you're going to find your place in STEM. You're going to find your place, in field games. And, of course, because of our incredible medical staff, the campers love swimming. I'd say that's probably one of the top ones. And then I think activities, we have this epic lip sync battle, which is pretty legendary, within the cruise. I have a really funny experience where one of my more reserved / like shy camper, she ended up, coming up to me and she's like, "Hey, Wonder Woman, can I borrow your hat?" And I was like, yeah, of course you can borrow my hat, sort of thing. And they ended up doing Katy Perry's Dark Horse. I don't know if you're familiar with
it.
But there's this portion where it breaks out into like this huge rap portion. And when you know it, my little camper took the hat, flipped it on backwards, and it was like a totally different person, like came to life on stage, like just truly spectacular. She ended up like rapping seamlessly, like she had been doing it her whole life, kind of thing. And just the way the whole camp just erupted, like I just will never forget, the confidence that she experienced after that and kind of seeing her really come out of her shell. Just truly spectacular to see.
What a great story. You always love to, you can picture it in her, at least I can picture it in my mind, what that would look like and how exciting that would have been, especially getting the crowd ignited. So they probably got pretty jazzed about that.
Yeah.
Now you when you were just talking there, you mentioned that the child said, "Hey, Wonder Woman," and then you made another statement about what she was asking you about. But so your nickname is Wonder Woman. Why don't you, let's explain that.
So everybody at camp can choose, you know, different nicknames. I ended up, you know, choosing Wonder Woman because, you know, just all the different values that she brings. And something I just like to emulate, like in my own life. And so the fact that she can speak, you know, hundreds of languages and just that intellect, but then like the power and the beauty behind that is just something, you know, I try to convey, but, you know, just that service of others is really important to me. So Wonder Woman is what stuck.
I love it. That's great. And Chris, you also have a nickname, Wapiti Mama, right?
I do.
Let's talk about that. How did you come up with that name? What does that mean?
So my first year as program director, I didn't have a nickname yet. My usual outside of camp name is Chris, and that seemed maybe a little boring for camp. So I needed a camp nickname, and I asked at Campfire, I asked the campers to think of what my nickname should be, and the 7-year-old boys decided that I should be Wapiti Mama, because the campsite that we used is called Camp Wapiti, and okay. I was the mama for all the campers. So it's hard to say no to that. they're pretty adorable.
Oh, I love that. Especially coming from 7-year-olds who already think they have the world by the tail, right? Going on 17 usually. At least that's what I'm seeing with my grandkids.
they were just sweet, sweet seven there. There was
sweet little guys, yeah, sweet little kids.
So Brandy kind of touched a little bit on some of the roles that our volunteers take. And I wanted to just kind of add on to that for when you guys edit it all together. You know, we use volunteers in a lot of different ways. We have the cabin counselors, the activity counselors, and those are really, you know, we really do need people that are rah, rah, rah. And out there and willing to be crazy and silly. We also need people that are those quiet. We need the people that can be quiet and don't need the attention. I think it's really great for us to have, and Brandy's great at doing all the things, you know, Brandy's great at hanging back and letting the kids have the center of attention when they want to be. We've need those people that are good to talk to the shy, quiet kids that maybe don't feel like they have a space. We also have staff that serve as lifeguards or kitchen staff. We have med staff, which she mentioned, and then also we have teen volunteers that help with the camper groups. So we've got really a lot of different ages of volunteer, and it's not, you know, sometimes people think summer camp is going to all be volunteers that are in their 20s. That's not true. We have volunteers that are college students. We have volunteers that are school professionals. We have volunteers that are in their 50s, 60s, or 70s even. So it's really, you know, there's a place for everybody. And that's actually the message of Camp Hobie, is it's the place for everybody. And whether you're a volunteer or a camper, it's a place for people to feel like they belong.
That's actually a good segue into another program that we're starting in our organization, and why I also wanted Chris and Brandy to come on to onto the podcast and talk a little bit about some of the stuff that's going on in the future. We're doing our part as well. This is with our organization, as you all know, Truckers Health Network. We're also creating a fundraising program that the truck drivers are involved in called Truckers for Kids. I won't go into all the details about that, but that particular segment of our business and the nonprofit side and raising capital so that these kids can continue to go to and enjoy all the amazing things that you've heard already of Camp Hobie. Camp Hobie is going to be kind of the beneficiary of some of the fundraising efforts that we're going to be doing coming up here very shortly with Truckers for Kids. So you'll learn more about that. You'll see that on our website. It'll be posted on the HealthBeat website as well. So we'll start talking about that in more ways in the future, so you can get to know another way of helping raise capital for Camp Hobie, and so that more kids can attend this incredible camp. So you'll hear more about. I won't take the time to talk about that today. Just know that Truckers for Kids is going to be available for you to look at as well, and that's going to be directly connected with Camp Hobie. So we're excited about that future partnership as well. Let's talk a little bit about what's coming ahead. You know, the end of the year, next year, the things that are going on, some of the goals and aspirations that you have for Camp Hobie, Chris, and let's talk about how our listeners can maybe play a role in helping you reach your goals and aspirations.
Wow, that's a big question. So, I mean, my goals and aspirations are, I want to get more campers to camp. You know, so that's big, getting more campers and really filling up the campsite is where I want to be. You know, we're not there right now, but or we weren't there this year. As like I said, we talked about coming back out of the pandemic, but I want to fill up the campsite. That means more money because each kid that comes to camp, in-person camp costs more than $200 per kid per day to run. And we charge our families a nominal registration fee. It's anywhere from $15 to $35, depending on which session and things like that. And then we also give them fee waivers if they request it. And we also provide transportation assistance for our families. So that, you know, any money that we raise helps us keep those costs to our families low, because we know that cancer is just so expensive.
Right.
Medical treatment's expensive. Everything's expensive now. Food, gas, all the things. So my goal for next year is just to really increase our camper numbers. And, you know, I'd love to see a 20% increase from this year. Traditionally, you know, 8 to 10% is about what we get from year to year in a normal year. So that's more realistic, but my goal would be 20. And, you know, 5 years from now, I think I'd really love to have us add another camp session for, you know, maybe we revisit the age split out, you know, we go to like 4 to 7, 7 to 10, 10 to 13, and then the olders, I don't know. But in to add another week of camp, that's a pretty big lift. That's in adding a whole another staff group. It's adding a whole nother week at the site. So that's a thing, you know, 10, 20 years down the line, maybe we have our own campsite and we can run all summer long or all year long if we want to.
That would be amazing. We want to help you get there too.
Big pie in the sky things.
There's nothing wrong with dreaming big, because you got to start somewhere and it'll eventually come. In fact, I was talking to on our other business there with our conference that we have coming up for the trucking community. I was talking to an association that's been around for the truckers for 60 years. Mm-hmm. And they had mentioned that they had started in a hotel room 60 years ago with just a few people. And now they're holding their conference, which is already sold out, is coming up in March. And they've got 15,000 people coming to it. So you got to start somewhere. It was, you know, based on a dream and a hope that you're going to get there. And we've seen organizations grow like that. I was part of one of those organizations that grew like that when we were raising funds for children, sick children in 170 children's hospitals. It's just, it's so cool to see how people resonate, first of all, to doing good or doing better or raising more money and awareness to help sick children. That's that, but they just need to know about it. So that's why I'm honored that you two are on today on this episode, that we can talk about how we can shed more light on Camp Hobie and the great work that you all are doing, and figure out how we can also participate on the fundraising side to help you raise more capital. So we're definitely inspired by what you both have done, the whole Camp Hobie team, the incredible work that you're involved in. Especially as a parent and a grandparent, you just want those kids to be taken care of. You just want them to be kids. And it's obviously a welcome relief for the parents and even the grandparents and what's going on with those beautiful children. So it's just, you both are certainly to be commended, as is the entire Camp Hobie team and all the supporters of Camp Hobie for what you're doing, because it's truly inspired work. And I'm just so happy that that we found out about Camp Hobie when Brandy brought it up. We're working on some other things together, some other business opportunities. And she had mentioned Camp Hobie as a volunteer, and she's just so excited about not only what she has done, but also for the future. So I want to ask one more question back to Brandy. You shared a pretty cool moment there just a minute ago about the child that you were involved with and at the camp, and how they just kind of came out of their shell. And Are there any other memorable moments that you'd like to share, or kind of tug a little bit on the heartstrings of our listeners? Because we need to help everybody understand how important this message is, how important the whole vision is of Camp Hobie. But is there any type of a memorable moment, Brandy, that you can share with us outside of what you already shared?
Oh, man, I could pull from a million. But one that really particularly stands out for me, we were, our cabin was getting ready for the much anticipated dance party that we have every year. Everybody was bustling around, you know, getting ready. And I noticed one of my campers, this beautiful young girl, she had lost her hair. She was looking down. And so I went over to talk to her, and she just, you know, went into how she was feeling kind of down because she didn't have enough hair to play with and get ready. And before I could even process, honestly, the cabin instantly jumped in and they rallied around her. Next thing I know, we find ourselves like headed over to the arts and crafts. Our mission was pretty simple. It was glitter. And I just remember, and I'll never forget, as I started like putting the glitter just in the tufts of hair she had, just the happiness that radiated from her. It's hard not to get emotional when I talk about it, just because, you know, these kids are so special. But I think, you know, it wasn't just that sparkle, you know, that night. She wasn't just the girl who didn't have hair, had cancer. She was just, you know, that kid that lit up the dance floor quite literally.
That is cool.
Yeah. And I think that's part of the magic of Camp Hobie, you know, just seeing, you know, those, that support, you know, come through, and just those spontaneous acts of love. I think that's just reflected, you know, both in our campers and our staff, and just seeing it come to light, you know, in hard situations to make it seem so bright, pretty incredible.
Thank you for sharing that. That is truly amazing. I am, you know, if that doesn't tug at the heartstrings, then I don't know if anything will. So we're, again, thank you for what you're doing as a volunteer and the amazing things that you're doing for the kids and great stories that you can share like that. Thank you. Yeah. Why don't we go ahead and wrap up? This has been awesome. Two quick things though, Chris, is there anything else you'd like to cover that we haven't maybe touched on in this particular segment in this episode? Number one, number two, why don't we also wrap up with, again, we'll just say it again, how everybody can get a hold of Camp Hobie through the website, through Facebook, through Instagram, all those different areas. Why don't we go ahead and chat about that too for just a minute?
Yeah. So I would just say that it's so important for our families to have this. You know, my staff and I hear all year long that from the moment that they pick up their kids at camp, their kids are asking when camp is the next summer, and they're singing the camp songs and they're telling their parents stories from camp. And it just really is something that sustains them throughout the year when they're going through hard times of either having their treatment, or if they're a sibling, if they're at home and either taking care of themselves because their parents are busy at the hospital, or maybe they're even taking care of younger kids at home. It's something that sustains them all year long. And you can't imagine how, I mean, we've all had times the last few years where we might've felt isolated or alone. And for kids that are facing serious illness, that can be so much worse. I think all of us got a chance during the pandemic to kind of see what that might feel like to not be able to go out and do things with friends, either because you're not healthy or because you don't have a ride, because your parents aren't there or whatever, for whatever. So I just think that, you know, going through the pandemic was very, very hard, and it helped us all kind of have more compassion for what our kids are going through and what these cancer patients face with their families on a daily life. This, you know, wearing masks and not being able to go be around other people was not a new thing for them. It was part of their everyday. And so, you know, if we all dig in and think about how that felt for us and how we can maybe help somebody else work through that, I think that's very, very, very powerful. And I want to say thank you to Truckers Health and to Brian for all the things that they're doing for us. And thanks to all of you that, you know, whether you're considering donating money or time or, you know, anything like that, thank you for anything you do, whether it's for Camp Hobie or whatever charity you love. Any effort you make to make the world a better place is huge. And we love you for that. To find us, you can find our website page. It's camphobiekids.org, or find us on Facebook, Camp Hobie, or Instagram, and reach out. And we'd love to hear from you.
Even on YouTube, on Camp Hobie videos. Is that right? Is that another one?
Right. YouTube, Camp Hobie videos.
Very good. And I'm guessing if they wanted to do a direct donation through Venmo, do you have a way to do that too?
Yeah, we can take donations, Venmo at
and PayPal
at camp-hobie-1, PayPal, paypal.me/camphobie, checks. You can mail a check. The address is on our website. There's many ways to donate funds, and we'll take them all. We'll even take stock donations. We'll take cars. You got an old car you want to get rid of. All that stuff's on our website. If, you know, you have another idea, reach out. If you want to run a fundraiser for us, reach out.
Very good. And then what we'll do is when we get everything edited, we'll make sure that that's also on the screen as well. So you can, as listeners, you can see where to go, because there's a lot of good social media that you can tap into. If you want to know more about Camp Hobie, you can start by camphobieforkids.org, like Chris mentioned, and all the other areas in social media you can find. Just search for Camp Hobie and you'll be able to find it too. But we'll have all that posted, not only on this recording, but we'll also have it posted onto the HealthBeat website. So, well, this has been wonderful. Anything else that either one of you would like to add as we wrap it up today?
Just thank you so much for the time, you know, and all the listeners. Your guys' support truly makes a huge difference to these incredible kids that we get to serve.
Well said. Thank you both. Well, ditto, right? Well, Chris and Brandy, thank you. Certainly are very honored that you'd both be on here today. Very happy with the work that you've done so far, and looking forward to seeing all of the other things coming together in the future. We're just honored to be a part of it in some small way going forward. So thank you for that opportunity.
Thanks.
And again, thank you everybody for tuning in today. Another awesome episode because of our guests, Chris and Brandy. They did amazing. Thank you so much. We've learned a lot from what you've both shared today, and want to wish you the very best, but want to also just wrap it up here today. Let everybody know again, you've been tuned into Health Beat. And I want to thank you for being a part of our growing community. You're all doing some great things out there, and we appreciate all of your support. I'm going to sign off for now, but now it's your turn to go out and do something good and make a difference in whatever you're doing, whatever you're involved in. I can't wait for our next episode. So in the meantime, make it a great day. Take care now.